Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heart strength.
What's up? What's everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and I've got a very special guest today. One of my convincers to get me involved in the cryptocurrency world, and that is Stan Larimer, and of course my partner Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. So Stan, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you on.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
And I want to thank you online and in public for helping me get myself situated in BitShares. I own a lot of them now, and I'm hoping that the thing you told me when we first talked comes to fruition and they go to a gazillion. But Stan, what's going on now in the crypto world and with BitShares? And I know that your son is now doing EOS. So let's give us a general plan of what's going on.
Well, it is the most interesting year in crypto you could ever ask for. We're looking at so much changes and opportunities to make money and, frankly, lose money. And, you know, so it's a great and exciting time. We've got so many people coming and building on top of BitShares. And, you know, I spend most of my time just dealing with different partnerships, putting pieces together to bring all kinds of new applications on. And then, of course, we're working to have a path that moves BitShares upgraded to the EOS technology, which is, you know, basically it's like a $1 billion project in terms of what they've raised and attracted a lot of people to help grow that. And that becomes sort of like the operating system on which all the different blockchain stuff can migrate, and BitShares being part of that family is in an excellent position to, you know, migrate to that technology as well. So while we're busy piling all kinds of new applications on the BitShares is going to just pick up that load and move up to EOS technology and take everybody with them. So that's sort of the plan.
Am I going to be rich with my BitShares?
Well, you know, that certainly would be a nice outcome, and one might conclude that, but I can't give financial advice.
I know, I'm just kidding. It was, you know, but so last time we talked, Stan, you were kind of negative on Bitcoin, and you felt that was going to be the one that would fail out of all of them. Is that still your thoughts, and what are you thinking?
Yeah, well, you know, I think fail is maybe too strong a word. Yeah, you know, when you're the great granddaddy of them all, you'll be around for a long time. See, here's what Bitcoin has. And Bitcoin has built up around it an ecosystem, right? And it's the ecosystem that will keep it alive, because everybody who's built some application on Bitcoin, you know, will want to keep doing that, and that'll run for a long time. But Bitcoin is kind of saturated in terms of it doesn't have much room to take on more traffic. So what you'll see is some things moving off in search of, you know, better bandwidth to do their business applications. And as they move off, other things will move into that vacuum. So I think, you know, it'll continue as an ecosystem. But in terms of if I was advising anybody who's starting a new business application, I wouldn't want to sit on either Bitcoin or Ethereum, the two big leaders. Even though, you know, they've got huge communities and great amounts of cash and everything. But because they don't have the ability to handle the workload, if you've got an application that's going to have a lot of customers, you might want to look at something that's designed to handle, you know, real-time traffic. And that's really what the BitShares EOS family has built.
So, Stan, can I ask a question about about Bitcoin with the Lightning Network coming on board. Do you think that will extend sort of the, you know, the lifespan of Bitcoin? And, you know, the, I know it's in beta right now, and I know it's going to speed up transactions, but how do you feel about that? I mean, to me, it doesn't fully solve the problem, whereas I think what you have with delegated proof of stake with BitShares and EOS probably does.
Yeah, the, you know, I expect those two great communities, Bitcoin and Ethereum, with the resources they have, they will continue to work on, you know, improving what they're doing. But the fundamental nature of what they've built on is kind of limiting. So you have to do workarounds. Right. You know, as they go along. So, yeah, I wish them well. I'm just, all I'm talking about is as a an advisor to a lot of companies who are looking for something that, you know, is naturally designed in order to handle their business transactions, it's probably better to look at something that is smooth and easy to use and designed to hold the load over time. But, you know, it's a big industry, and I wouldn't want to see those two go away, because I like a nice decentralized industry as well, with no one group, you know, dominating to where, you know, it can become the new control mechanism for the world. As long as there's lots of us, I think we're all safer.
Yeah. Stan, what do you see as the future in the crypto world? Obviously, there's now, I don't know, 2,100 coins right now, or 2,100, you know, different items here. How do you see the future playing out?
Well, I think there will always be lots of coins and lots of innovation. Certainly, the regulatory authorities are coming in and, you know, spraying anti-coin dust on different things. And, you know, when you do that in a garden, you know, one type of plant dies out, but another type of weed grows up. And so I think any attempt to snuff it out is going to just cause innovation and, you know, things popping up in new parts of the world. So which parts of the world get the benefit of, is, you know, zero economic friction and flexibility and taking things to a new level. You know, it may be that if it's too restrictive in the first world, the third world will be cropping up as the place where all the economic growth happens. And of course, sooner or later, that will, you know, backwash into the first world. But, you know, in the meantime, we will have missed out on our opportunities. So I'm hoping that that we'll be able to assist the regulatory authorities with understanding the technology and not being afraid of it, but actually embracing it, because it's got some good features for them too. The ability to enforce rules right on the blockchain and to document, you know, who did what on the different transactions. Yeah, that's something that, if with the proper coordinating, everybody can benefit from that. But right now, the tendency has been for each regulatory agency to claim that they're responsible. You know, we have a federal judge in New York declaring that you know, all tokens are commodities, while the SEC chairman just said he hadn't seen a single token that wasn't a security. And we have the IRS saying it's property, which agrees with several of the states like Wyoming, that are arguing that since it's property, it should be regulated within the states. And then you've got states like Utah declaring certain types of things like gold and silver, precious metals backed coins can be legal tender. And so it's an exciting time to watch all the regulatory authorities try to decide what to do. The correct answer is, some of those coins could be any one of those things, and it depends on what you say. If you say nothing about a coin and you put it out there, the coin is just a poker chip. It's a piece of plastic. It doesn't mean anything. It's only when you give it meaning by making a promise about it in some way, or a group of people decide to start using it in a particular way, that it takes on the properties that would allow regulatory authorities to honestly understand
Stan, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll come back after the break. This is the Bubba Show with Stan Larimer and Matt Demeter. We'll be right back after the break with more about the crypto world with Stan Larimer and Matt Demeter and Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz and Stan Larimer, the CEO of Cryptonomics, and of course, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. So, Stan, I cut you off. I'm sorry as we were going to the break, but you were talking a little bit about the way that they're recognized in the regulations, and just go ahead and finish that thought if you'd like to.
Yeah, it's real simple. There is no one agency that should be regulating the digital currencies because, well, they're not even all digital currencies. They're things on the blockchains that we refer to as tokens generally. And tokens start out having no meaning. And then when they get a particular meaning, because someone says, I'm going to use these for shares of stock in my company. Hey, guess what? You created a security. Securities and Exchange Commission needs to license you to do that. But somebody else who does a commodity-backed token, well, guess what? You created a digital commodity, so the CFTC should be responsible for you. And other things represent property. Certainly we have the example, if you go into a casino and walk up to the window and give them a $100 bill, they're going to give you a stack of casino chips. And those aren't securities and those aren't commodities. Those are utility tokens to make it easier to play the games in the casino. And when you're done, you can bring those tokens back and turn them back into fiat cash. And there's nothing that stops someone from issuing casino tokens onto the blockchain and have them serve as a utility token of that type. And those would not fall into any of the regulatory regimes. So that's a big pill for a lot of them to swallow because every one of them is interested in, regulating it all. And I think we'll just have to watch and see how it plays out. But anytime I get to talk to one of them, I like to point out the casino chip example, because once that makes the light come on in somebody's eyes, I say, oh, yeah, I guess that's right. Then we can get somewhere, because now we can say, look, the blockchain itself is just an accounting system keeping track of who owns what tokens. What makes the tokens into whatever you want to regulate is a function of who issued the tokens and what they said about them.
Now, one of the things that I think about the regulating bodies is that they're just trying to figure out a way to get their piece of it. And I think that's, in my opinion, that's the bigger issue. Do you have any thoughts to that?
Well, certainly there are people in our industry who feel that's exactly what's going on, right? There's people in those different regulatory agencies that passionately believe in their jobs and, want to do them. And we certainly do have the 100 years of case law dating back to at the time the famous Howie in the Hills case, where somebody who owned a bunch of orange trees, a whole grove, divided them up into strips of land, each one with a row of orange trees on it, and sold those strips of land off to people, and then happened to mention in his sales literature that, hey, if you like, there's this company here. It's not us, but it's a neighboring company that has been managing our trees for us. And if you want them to manage your row of trees and harvest it and send you profits for a fee, they'll be happy to do that. And, that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and that led to this test that says that if you're offering ownership of a piece of a common enterprise with the intent of achieving a rate of return or a profit, you've just created a security. And so, while I don't agree with that 7-1 Supreme Court decision, because, why can't a guy sell a strip of land and mention that there's somebody that will take care of it for you? But they put it all together in this exquisitely reasoned legal logic that says, no, by putting those two things together, you created the security. And that made such a broad level that basically anything can be made into a security if they want to now, using that kind of logic. And so certainly when you come along and someone's selling shares in a company, it's going to pass that Howey test in a hurry and be treated as a security. And the real threat is trying to lump everything into that category when I hope I've just demonstrated that a poker chip is not a security.
I agree. Matt, you have anything?
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree. All the distinctions are kind of, you know, everybody's, you know, trying to grab, all these different regulatory agencies are trying to grab the same space. So it will be interesting how it plays out. But I agree. I mean, the utility tokens, I don't think should have any, you know, should any have any regulatory body. You know, I just thought what you said about earlier about BitShares becoming an application on top of EOS is pretty great. Do you foresee the same thing for Steam, another one of you and your son's projects, or I would like to know more about EOS. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dan did mention that he'd like to see a version of Steam hosted on EOS, so that's certainly possible. He has also opined that BitShares would be better off standing beside EOS than building on top of it. But that's okay, because, you know, it's like a Lego set, and you can, you know, plug components on top of EOS, or you can plug them into the side via sidechain interfaces that let the two chains talk together. And so we've got a team of people that are looking at what's the best way to use EOS technology. I expect it'll be probably a sidechain, but you know, there are some really cool things you can do with that type of an interface. Like, for example, EOS is intended to be multiple chains. It's designed so you can spread out and have a lot of them, and they can all talk to each other. So if we take that part of the technology and integrate it with BitShares, then BitShares becomes plug and play compatible with EOS, and now we can project our various services and tokens and coins and so on out onto all those chains. The idea that one coin has to sit on one platform is like so 2017. I expect to see that will spread out and become a very flexible platform for everybody to build on all at once.
Yeah, I see it as the most, you know, the most scalable platform for any, you know, new applications coming out, which I think would threaten Ethereum quite a bit. But that's just my take on it.
Stan, can
you? Dan,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Dan once said that his goal was to fulfill Ethereum's promises. So, right. You know, Ethereum, you know, came out with a broad vision and did a pretty good first cut. And Dan, you know, has had the benefit, I guess, of, you know, developing several platforms while Ethereum was evolving and watching what Ethereum ran into as its problems. And so he's had the chance to think through and make a much more aggressive version, I guess, is what I would describe it as. And so, I think that some people call it Ethereum on steroids, others think it stands for Earth's operating system. They won't say what it stands for, but you know, it's kind of cool. They just call it EOS.
Yeah.
Stan, can Steam Power offer a viable alternative to the censorship content creators experience in YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter? And if so, how?
Well, yeah. I mean, those different established giants, you know, they let you publish, but then they basically exploit everything you do. And, you know, basically they make all the money. Steam was designed as something that would allow people to earn cryptocurrencies for publishing, so that when you post on there, I think Steemit is now one of the top 1,000 websites in the world, so it's quite significant already. And, you know, very potent in terms of its linking for, you know, search engines and Google and everything to find it. So it's a new way of thinking that the guys that are doing the actual work of posting and curating content actually are the ones who get paid, as opposed to the people that are running the big companies behind the scenes.
All right, and when we come back from the break, I'm gonna ask you, how can decentralization provide an alternative to state bureaucratic regulations This is the Bubba Show with Stan Larimer and one of the developers and the CEO of Cryptonomics, and also Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com, and myself, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And make sure that every day you download the Bubba Show to get great interviews like this at LibertyTalk.fm. We'll be right back. And of course, don't forget about our high school investing program, which will help us continue to provide education to our youth. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and you can help us out. In the meantime, we're going to stop it out for a break. I'll be back with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com, Stan Larimer, one of the developers of some of the cryptocurrencies, and of course, myself, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show.
He's so delicious.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Stan Larimer, the CEO of Cryptonomics, and of course, Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com, and myself, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And Stan, before we went to break, I asked you, how can decentralization provide an alternative to state bureaucratic regulation? Your answer, please.
Well, we have this phrase in the industry called the code is the law. Okay. And the idea there is that it's open source code for all these different blockchains, very documented. Anybody can go in and inspect exactly how these different entities, you might call them decentralized apps, or you might call them, you might think of them actually as little companies, but whatever it is, every one of them is programmed in a way that you can inspect the code and know what they're going to do. And therefore, contractually, you could think of them as run by honest robots who are guaranteed to fulfill the contract, which is contained in the code that implements them. Now, you could imagine a dApp that says, I'm going to rob you blind. You know, if you give me your money, I'm going to keep it, and you'll never see it again. And it writes it in code that way. And therefore, if you go work with it, well, it's doing what it said it would do, which is to steal from you. Okay? But the question you have to ask the regulators is, if there's a clear contract that someone enters into as embodied by the code that says that's the effect that they want to have happen, then who is it to say that consenting adults can't engage in any kind of a smart contract that that they find mutually acceptable? And so if you want to imagine these type of agencies as saying, well, you know, for some reason, you know, we want to supervise people. We don't want adults to have that kind of freedom over their own choices. And we want to make a set of rules. Well, you can imagine that there would be a bunch of applications out there that implement those rules, and that people who are constrained to live in that type of a society can be constrained to only have access to those kind of applications, while the rest of the world can have freedom to engage in whatever their governments say they can have. And in some places where their governments are not interfering with their lives, they can have you know, the freedom to use any of those choices. But the point is, each of these different things on the blockchain is agnostic. It's designed to serve the world, and it will enforce whatever rules, you know, are required by the people who want to put things onto that blockchain and do business. So regulators can have a fine time saying how they want it to work, and people can implement that in code, and it works even better than the regulators could ever ask for then, because the code enforces the rules they want.
And Matt, I know you had a couple of questions, so why don't you go ahead and take over?
Yeah, Stan, with your decentralized exchange, it basically has no jurisdiction. Like you were just saying, this is, you know, these are platforms for the world. So if, let's say, you're trading on the BitShares exchange, then from my way of thinking, you're not whether you know, the SEC would consider some of the coins to be some of the tokens to be securities or not, you're really not necessarily inside the U.S. jurisdiction, because, you know, a decentralized exchange is both everywhere and thus nowhere in a sense. It has no, you know, where the individual user may be, you know, has its own laws, but the exchange itself doesn't seem to have a jurisdiction. That was my sort of my first question. The second that goes along with it is that I've seen decentralized exchanges that have been built on top of BitShares, where all that's required is a username, password, and an email address, and really doesn't get into a whole lot of detail about who the person is. So, you know, you could be a U.S. citizen, and you could decide, look, I want to trade on this exchange, and I want to buy this, I want to sell that, and I don't want to be interfered with by any regulatory body. I want to be anonymous. And is that possible? And do you see that as the future?
Well, you know, it's totally up in the air as to how it will come down. What I would like to see is that these global blockchains would be acknowledged as existing in international waters. When you get on a cruise ship, you'll find that the casino shut down while it's in port. But once it gets back outside the 30-mile limit or whatever it is, then suddenly the casinos turn on. They're in international waters, and they're not governed by constraints on whether people can gamble. And I would like to see that be the way the blockchain is treated. Now, there are, of course, a lot of people who don't want to see that happen. And when you build an exchange on top of it, if you're an American company and dealing with American citizens, the policy of the United States is that they can control your life wherever you are in the world. You can't sell unlicensed securities to Americans, no matter where you are. And, you know, since the U.S. government has worked very hard to get the enforcement mechanisms, the so-called long arm of the law, can pretty much reach an American anywhere in the world. So I would not recommend, trying to claim that freedom unless you're willing to, you know, fight for it, because you'll probably have to. But as far as the blockchain itself is concerned, it's nothing but a accounting system that keeps track of who owns what. And if you can imagine the ideal situation which it was designed for, every country has rules about what its citizens and its companies are allowed to put on that ledger and who they can interact with. So they can and are enforcing their desires of how things should be by going to the manned exchanges, the on and off ramps to the blockchains, and requiring them to have licenses and to comply with whatever else has to be done. And so that's the way I see it going, is that there's a common thing, almost like the internet. You know, this is the internet of money. And just like the internet runs all over the world, but different parts of the world have different rules about what can be done and said on the internet. And you have the Great Wall of China set up, to keep certain things on the internet out of China. And I have no doubt that the United States will set up the Great Wall of the United States to keep any securities or anything else they don't like away from American citizens. And so that's what, you know, we'll be pointing to China and saying, isn't it a shame that you're living behind the Iron Curtain? While they're pointing at us and saying, isn't it a shame that you're living behind the, they'll have to come up with a name for some kind of curtain that keeps Americans constrained from what they can do and what freedoms they enjoy.
Right, right. Is that, but is that even technologically possible when it comes to, you know, like a decentralized exchange where most of the time we're talking about software running on your own computer, you know, like BitTorrent, for example. So, you know, people that are on BitTorrent can share, you know, music files, they can share all kinds of files. Napster got shut down by the U.S. government, and BitTorrent just, you really couldn't shut it down. So I'm just wondering if the same might apply to, you know, decentralized exchanges and, you know, just not just BitShares, but Binance has said they're coming out with a decentralized exchange as well. My feeling is they can't be shut down. I don't know if there's a way to keep Americans off of it if they're, you know, or not.
Well, it's an arms race, and you saw how successful they were back in the Prohibition eras in keeping Americans from having their whiskey. And, you know, eventually they had to give up on that. So, yeah, at any given time, they can cost the industry billions of dollars by making it difficult for companies right. to use this new technology. And they can certainly put lots of people in jail and ruin their lives and scare a lot of people and do whatever they need to do to keep it from flourishing as much or from growing as fast. But as history has shown, anytime that's done, especially when it's a technological area like this, there'll be people out there working to find ways around it. And even if they are successful in strangling this industry within any given one country, all that does is, you know, cause that country to live in the dark ages while the rest of the world flourishes. So it's kind of self-defeating. I know that there will be people who try it, but I like to think of the example of if you look at the images from space of the Earth at night and you see all the you know, starry constellation of cities and lights all over the planet where centers of populations are, and you can kind of tell where the most prosperous regions are because they have the most lights. And if you go look at North Korea, south of the 38th parallel, South Korea is just blooming with lights, but north of that parallel, it's dark. There's one little dot at the capital, and that's about it. The rest of that whole country is dark, unprosperous, and that's because they live inside a regulatory nightmare. Well, now imagine that same plot showing where there's economic freedom for people to deal with each other without a lot of constraints. And what you'll see is the first world countries that have the most regulations are the ones that are going to stunt growth the most, and that other countries that adopt a more liberal policy will be flourishing. And so there'll be a completely different light pattern if you were to plot an imaginary contour of where there is economic freedom to engage in peer-to-peer transactions.
And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz with Stan Larimer, Cryptonomics, and of course Matt Emmergan, research for myself, Todd Bob Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break.
Broke down, spitting out smoke on the side of the road.
After 10,000 Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz with Stan Larimer from Cryptonomics, the CEO and our Bitcoin and our crypto expert and the builder of a lot of these. And of course, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And Stan, is the Steam dollar pegged to the U.S. dollar?
Well, it's supposed to be. I don't think that's necessarily, tracking perfectly. But certainly BitUSD tracks much, much better, I think, over on the BitShares platform. And Dan has some new innovations that he's bringing to track even better when we get to EOS. So I think we'll be adopting some of that technology. But in general, all three of them track the dollar to various degrees of dampening down the volatility that you'd find in the rest of cryptocurrencies. And of course, there's also things that are metal-backed coins that explicitly track. And that would be an example of what we have at Quintric.com, gold-backed legal tender.
What are the differences between Steam Dollar, Steam, and Steam Power?
Well, you know, it's a little bit complicated, but one is the steam itself is the coins that are mined by people doing work. And so that's what you get issued for doing stuff. But since there's new coins being issued every day as people do work, you know, that particular currency is inflationary by design. And so we needed something that people could switch into that was backed by that steam. And that was the steam dollar that is pegged to track the dollar. And then steam power was invented as a way to take a lot of those steam out of circulation by giving you something to do with it. If you take your steam and you lock it up for a period of time, then it affects your voting power. And so that incentivizes people to do that, take it out of circulation so it's not watering down the rest of the steam. But you get something in return, which is more influence in the community as to what articles get voted up and that sort of thing.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about EOS, Dan. I know that was one of the things you wanted to make sure we talked about. So tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, EOS is intended to be something that is better quality smart contracts and a platform that's unlimited in how much it can scale. Which were, you know, a couple of the problems of the early systems that can't scale. And so Dan set off to develop a new system. That system has a lot more to it than just implementing coins. He wants to produce something that allows people to implement entire systems of government. And his vision is that a citizen of the world can select which form of government on the blockchain they want to subscribe to. And then it'd be a choice of the citizens of the world to say, I will do business with you because you have agreed to comply with set of laws number 3 and 7, and I find those acceptable, so I'll do business with you. But you who only signed up for system 1 or none at all, well, you know, I don't trust you. But maybe somebody else will trust you, and everybody gets to choose how they're going to do business with each other and what contracts the trusty robots out there are going to enforce in any given financial relationship. So he's got a big vision along that way.
Wow. It's very exciting. And just last question that I have, and I'll then turn it over to Matt if he's got any more. And what is delegated as proof of stake, or and how does it work?
Well, it's really pretty simple. In the case of Bitcoin, which is proof of work, the people who get to basically do the notary function and sign off on every block as being correct compete for that role by having supercomputers and competing to solve a puzzle so that they get to sign that particular set of transactions and get the Bitcoin's payment for doing so. Over on delegated proof of stake, everybody who has BitShares is basically got that many votes that they can use to decide who they want to trust to sign the blocks. And so, you know, a number of people bubble to the top as being recognized and trusted in the community, and they are the ones that get to sign the blocks in a random round-robin fashion. And the neat thing about that is that you can fire somebody that fails to maintain trust. First, they can't really cheat because all the different nodes are checking on each other. But if somebody does, it's instantly recognized by everybody else. You vote them out and they're done. Back on the Bitcoin side, those big factories full of computer power, if they start misbehaving, you can't fire them because they still have all that computer power. So it's just a much better, more efficient way of deciding who signs the blocks. And therefore, because it's more efficient, you can run with 3-second transaction times instead of those that might take 3 hours.
Got it. Matt?
Well, Stan, you were talking about precious metals coins, and I know you have BitGLD. I was wondering if that's what you were referring to earlier, or if there was another out there that you were interested in.
Well, BitGLD is a market pegged asset. It has no counterparty risk. There's nobody promising anything. It's a smart contract that tracks the price of gold, and will guarantee to pay you an ounce of gold's worth of BitShares. No matter how the price of BitShares fluctuates, you always get that fixed price. So it's kind of nice not to have anybody else in the loop, and that's useful for that reason. But if you've got a trusted organization, like one of the premier gold depositories in the world is the UPMA, the United Precious Metals Association in Utah. They're the guys that got gold made into a legal tender in the state of Utah again, and now half dozen or more states are starting to follow suit. But they offer a new product called the Quint on the BitShares network. And it's actually a family of about seven different coins of different denominations, some gold and some silver, all 100% backed in their depository there. And this is the key, deliverable. And so if you want to check to see whether they've really got gold, you can always ask them to, you know, send you, you know, for 1,000 quints, which represent 1,000th of an ounce. So 1,000 of them represents 1 ounce. You send them 1,000 quints and they'll send you the actual ounce of gold backed. And in this case, it's U.S. gold eagles, or, you know, the silver equivalent produced by the U.S. Mint. So because it's done by that and very carefully structured within all the laws of the United States and Utah to be a legal tender coin with the proper safeguards in places and, you know, the right KYC, AML, that's the Know Your Customer, anti-money laundering stuff. You know, in other words, since we're living in the United States, we designed a digital coin that's 100% compliant with all U.S. laws. And some of the neat things about that, not only are you backed by real gold, but it's legal tender. And that means when you spend it, you don't have to worry about keeping track of fluctuations in the price that you would have a taxable event in terms of capital gains and losses every time you bought a snow cone, which is, you know, really impractical. So we designed a coin out there that is for Americans. And, of course, there's an international version of that, the iQuint, which is backed not by gold eagles, but by the most popular international gold coins like the Panda, the Kangaroo, the Philharmonic, the Britannia, and in particular, the Middle Kingdom of Ireland, which allows us to have legal currency backed by their kingdom, customized coins for anybody's use. So you could actually have a white-labeled version of the iQuint that would be rendered a sovereign legal tender coin, and yet it could have the you know, the symbol of the Pittsburgh Steelers on it, or whatever you wanted for your own custom coin. So
sure, you picked the Steelers. Hey Stan, we're up against the end of the show. I got to thank you so much for coming on today. This is Stan Larimer, the CEO of Cryptonomics. Stan, thanks so much. It's great to have you on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
This is, we're with Matt Damner, Todd Bob Horwitz, and Stan Larimer. This is The Bubba Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horwitz. We'll see you later, everybody. Thanks so much.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.